If you have your Bibles, turn them to Matthew chapter 6. This is a sermon not often preached in Southern Baptist churches, for sure. I'm not sure exactly why, except that we like to eat. Today's sermon is about prayer and fasting. All right, now, this kind of wraps up. I know I did a series here a while back about out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, the purpose of godliness and how we're to do the Christian disciplines for the purpose of godliness. And this kind of wraps that up. I know it's been a while since we did that, but this one, this prayer and fasting, I want to make you understand, though, that this sermon is not an in-depth study on prayer and fasting, but it's a starting point. Matter of fact, all of the sermons I preach are a starting point. If you expect to get your biblical knowledge and passion and all that in 35 minutes on Sunday morning, you don't have very big expectations. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to fulfill your spiritual needs in 35 hours a week. If you want to have your spiritual needs met, you've got to do like we talked about last week. You've got to go deep. You've got to take this as a starting point. Write down these passages that I'm going to give you. There's going to be a whole bunch of them. Write down these passages. Take them. Spend the week reading and studying for yourself, taking that in. That's where you grow. That's where you grow. This, what we do on Sunday morning, is a launching point. Okay? The study takes place in your heart. And in your time, I want to identify that prayer, the kind of prayer that I'm talking about this morning. I'm going to talk about prayer, and then we'll talk about fasting and how they relate to one another. But this type of prayer that I'm talking about this morning, it's not that superficial acquaintance type of prayer. It's not the kind of prayer when you walk into the grocery store and you see somebody that you recognize from a business that you went to the other day, and you recognize, you saw this person, you said hi to him, and you go and say, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you again." "Yeah, can't remember your name, but I remember seeing your face. Good to see you again. How's the wife and kids?" That's an acquaintance type of a relationship, right? Now, you run into somebody, maybe you see somebody here, one of our congregation, you see somebody in the church, would that conversation look a little different? I would hope so. Would hope so. Maybe you walk up to them, take them by the hand, shake their hand, or hug their neck, and say, "Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Man, I'm glad I got to see you today. How is everything? How is?" And you call the kids by their name, and you there's a difference in that, right? So what I'm talking about, an acquaintance type prayer. I'm not talking about. I mean, what I'm talking about is the, "Dear God, forgive me for everything I've ever done in all of my life. Thank you for my food. Keep me safe. Amen." That's an acquaintance type of prayer. And what I'm talking about is that deeper type of prayer, the kind where you go and you get by yourself and you get with God and you're just like, "My dear friend, my heavenly Father, my Savior, I've got these issues. I've got these problems. I just want to honor you because of what you've done in my life. You've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this. Father, I'm so sorry for what I've done. When I did this, Father, I know that displeased you, and I want to ask you forgiveness for it." There's a difference. Do y'all see the difference? Okay, so when I talk about prayer, that's the kind of praying I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the other stuff. And I will tell you this, and you can write this down, and then you can quote me on it if you want to, but I believe that your prayer life is a good indicator of the depth of your relationship with our Lord and our Savior. If you have an acquaintance type of prayer life, you have an acquaintance type of relationship. If you have a deep relationship with the one who saved you forever and ever from damnation in hell, okay? If you have that kind of relationship, your prayer life will reflect it. And if your prayer life does not reflect that, you need to ask yourself, what is my relationship? What is my relationship? I know all about Jesus. I read about it. I know all about him. I've been in Sunday school since I was before I was born, 9 months before I was born, right? Some of us can claim that. I can claim that. There's a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. What I'm talking about is you don't pray about somebody, you pray to somebody. Until we get that, we don't really understand prayer. Jesus expects us to pray. Prayer is expected. Did you know that? And if you're a Christian, prayer is expected of you. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you're there, you'll be with me here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says this. And when you pray. You see that? And when you pray. He doesn't say, and if you pray. Right? So if you tell somebody, hey, and when you do something, are you expecting that to be done? Absolutely. And when you go to the store, make sure you get a gallon of milk, honey. And some chocolate chip cookies. Right? And when you get up in the morning, are we expecting that the morning's going to come and we're going to be able to get up? Absolutely. And when you reach 65, right? And when you get to retire, and when those things are expected. Jesus says, and when you pray, he expects it. If we go on down to look at verse 67, chapter 6, verse 7. I didn't see the colon. But when you pray, and he goes on for instructions. Don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think about that they'll be heard because of their many words. They're praying to themselves, really, is what they're saying. He's saying, but he says, and when you pray, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. All right? Those indicate, right there in those three verses, Jesus makes it clear to me that he expects me to pray. Do you agree with me? Okay. I want to make sure y'all are still awake. I wasn't positive. He expects us to pray. Luke 11, verse 9. I'm not going to turn to all these on the screen, but that's the passage where it says, ask, seek, and knock. Right? He says, ask, seek, knock. Come to me. How do we get to Christ? It's a test. How do we get to Christ? You have to pray. We pray. We pray to him. He says, come to me. Ask. Luke 18, verse 1. I am going to read this. This is the parable of the persistent widow. Jesus told his disciples in a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. His disciples should what? Always do what? Pray and don't give up. Always pray and don't give up. When is always? It's always. It's always, always. We should always pray. Prayer is expected. Jesus expects us to pray. Scripture makes it clear. Okay, Colossians 4:2 says to devote yourselves to prayer. What do you do when you devote yourself to something? You give your all. You go all in. You devote yourself, right? He says, devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray continually. Martin Luther once said, as it is the business of a tailor to make clothes and of cobblers to make shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. Prayer is also learned. The disciples said, teach us. Teach us how to pray. How do you learn? You just do it. It's a conversation. You know the Nike commercial, just do it. Prayer, swoosh. Just do it. You can't learn if you don't ever try. Just practice it. Just practice it. Meditate on the Scriptures. Oftentimes when I pray, when I spend a season of prayer, I pray with my Bible open and I'm reading as I'm praying. I'm meditating on the words. I'm repeating a passage. I'm praying it. I'm praying it as a prayer to my Father. His very words that He wrote, that He sent to me, I'm praying back to Him as a prayer. I meditate on that. And He speaks to me through His Word. Praying with others. You can also learn to pray by praying with others. How many of you ever prayed with somebody else? Okay. You can learn by praying with somebody else. Find somebody that knows how to pray. And I'm not talking about like where we were at ago, those that go on babbling and using big words and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about somebody that you know has a sincere prayer life. You can pray with them. Ask them, show me, how do you do that? What goes through your mind? How do you do this? And they'll help you. I know they will. Pray with others. You can also read about prayer. Proverbs 13:20 says this: He who walks with the wise grows wise. And if you want to learn about prayer, read about some folks who have written about prayer. Read some folks who've experienced that deep kind of prayer that I was talking about, and they've written it down so they can help you experience the same type of deep prayer. Prayer is also answered. Prayer is answered. I know that on Sunday nights, I love Sunday nights. I love Sunday mornings too. Don't get me wrong. I love this. But if you want something that's special and intimate, you need to come on Sunday nights. My prayer is that will just be the seed that roots out in the Dolan Baptist Church, and it just that intimate, that worshipful kind of feeling and relationship. We've had some times of prayer in our Sunday night services, and folks, prayers are being answered. Prayers are being answered. Prayer is answered. Some people call it coincidence. I don't know about that, but I do know this. If it is coincidence, I know I have a whole lot more coincidence when I pray than when I don't. I call it answered prayer. I call it answered prayer. Prayer, folks. Prayer is such an important part of our life. It is our as a Christian, it is our lifeblood. It's our connection. It's our connection. Have you ever been on the phone and you got a dropped call these days? Now, on cell phones, we call it a dropped call, right? You ever been on, remember, some of you remember the old landline phones and you're on the phone and all of a sudden you go, bong. Does that ever happen to anybody? You get cut off. That connection is our prayer life. That connection. And if you ever disconnect from prayer life, you're not getting the information. I mean, I can remember even, listen, I remember talking on the phone and talking and telling a story and said, hey, what do you think about that? And there's nobody there. And I lost them 5 minutes ago. And I have to call them back and tell them, they're going to go like, why'd you hang up on me? And they're like, I didn't hang up on you. We got disconnected. But there was a lot of information going, but they weren't getting it. Guess what? If you're not connected, God may be sending information, and you're not getting it because you've disconnected. You've got to hook up. You've got to keep the connection. And I think prayer is a lot of like, I'm just going to follow the analogy of a telephone. Because that's how we speak to God, and that's how He speaks to us, oftentimes through prayer, right? How many of you, if you got some of the older ones, the kids, even Zachary and them, they don't understand what analog mobile phones are. How many of you remember the old analog cell phones when they first came out? The difference between analog and what now is digital, the difference is clarity, right? The old analog, It's kind of like the old, before they came out with HD TV and even on the portable antennas. I remember when I was growing up, we could get channel 2, 7, and 9, but not all at the same time. Okay? And we had to get up all the way. Kids, this was terrible. You had to get all the way to the TV to turn the channel. It was bad. Okay? But listen, we could watch 7 and 9, but if we wanted to watch channel 12, which was really channel 2, you had to go outside, you had to put on 12, hear the snow, go outside, turn the antenna, and then it would start talking. You could hear it. Okay, now I can hear. But then you go in. Then you couldn't watch channel 7 and 9 until you had to go back out. But that's kind of that. That's like what analog is. It's just, it gets crackly, it gets fuzzy. And the old cell phones, you could be talking on it, and you just hear a lot of crackling and static and all that. Well, then they came out with digital stuff. Now with digital, you don't get the static and all that. Sometimes you, but the thing is, you either get it or you don't, right? It doesn't static out, it just goes blank. But I think when we talk about prayer and what fasting does with prayer, prayer is like talking with God on an analog phone. And oftentimes what fasting can do, if you will add fasting, it's like switching over to digital. It gets rid of static. And I know that fasting is not a popular topic. And I'll tell you why. Because fasting means we deny ourselves something. And we don't like to deny ourselves something. Matter of fact, we like to get everything we deserve and more. Right? We like to get the stuff even that we don't deserve. And self-indulgence is the enemy of gratitude. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, and I know several of you, if you go to the doctor a certain time of year, you have to fast before you go, right? Why? Does anybody know why you have to fast before you go? They're just mean, right? They want you to show up hungry. They want to, when they listen to your heartbeat, they want to hear your stomach growling, right? No, that's not why. Because when they draw blood, when you've been fasting, listen, they get a clear and accurate picture of what's going on, right? Am I wrong on that? Somebody tell me. I think that's the truth. That's the truth, okay? If you go, you have not eaten a bunch of sugar and drink a bunch of Coke and caffeine and fatty stuff and red meat and all, whatever it is, chocolate chip cookies and ice cream, whatever it is, if you've not eaten all that and your blood has leveled out to whatever normal for you is, that's what they want to see. They want a clear picture of what's going on in your blood. They want accuracy. And oftentimes, if we will fast, I'm going to describe what that means here in a moment, but if we will fast, it helps bring into clarity. Helps bring clarity to our situation. It helps us get a true reading on what God is saying to us. It helps us truly get a clear idea and identify clearly what it is we want to say to God. What we want to ask of God. Fasting. Did you know that there are about 75 passages of Scripture. We are, what kind of church are we? Oh, Baptist. Okay, that's right. We are a Baptist church. You know there are about 75 passages in this Word of God that speak about baptism? And that's a good thing, right? Because we like that. And there's a good scriptural foundation for baptism. Am I right? Absolutely. Did you know? Okay, 75 passages. Did you know there are about 70 passages that talk about fasting? About 70 passages that speak of fasting. A biblical definition of fasting would be the voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. Okay, most of the fast, as a matter of fact, all of the fast in the Bible are talking about food. And I think there's value in that. But I believe it can also be expanded to something like this. The voluntary denial of normal function for the sake of intense spiritual activity. Fasting doesn't always have to be about food. See, for them, food was a necessity. Is food a necessity for you? Sure it is. You need food. But sometimes we think other things are necessities too. I have to have this or I'm going to die. If I don't have my cell phone, I'm going to die. I don't know what to do with it. How many of you have left the house, gone several miles, and had to turn around because you left your cell phone at home? What would you have done 15 years ago? You'd have found a payphone, right? We think that's a necessity. We think that this TV show that I've got to watch right on that specific time is a necessity. We think that this trip or this whatever is a necessity. And I believe God is saying to us, what you think is a necessity is getting in the way of me and you speaking. Set it aside. Don't, you don't have to get rid of it, but you need to set it aside for a while because I got something clear I want to say to you. That's what fasting is. That's where fasting comes from. Sometimes we need to fast from involvement with other people, from media, from the phone, from listen. Sometimes we need to fast from talking. Sometimes we need to maybe even fast from sleep in order to become more absorbed in a time of spiritual activity. We at the Nix household are involved now, right now, in a fast of sorts. And I'll tell you exactly what it is. On Thursdays, when kids come home from school, everybody comes home from work, we're not going to have the TV on. On Thursday evenings, there's no TV at the Nix house. That's a fast for us. We like TV. I like TV. Everybody in the house likes TV except Rebecca. Wonder whose idea it was to fast from TV, huh? But it's good for us. I'm okay with it. It's good for us. Because what that's going to do, that's going to allow us time to focus on other things. Okay? One of the things is, we're just going to have, we eat supper together every supper. And I would highly recommend that. If you have a family, don't eat on the couch. Get together with your family and eat. I know this is not part of it. We're talking about fasting. I'm talking about eating. Have family time with your family every day. Every day. I was listening on the radio on our way up to the conference this week, and one of these great guys on the radio was talking about that you need to schedule family time to sit down and eat, pick up a knife and a fork together, and eat at least two meals a week together. I'm thinking, two meals a week? Sometimes we do two a day, but we do it every day at our house. And that's important. That time around the table is important. Okay. Let me get back to fast. I'm talking about eating. Now I'm going to go back to fasting. There are several different types of fast that are mentioned in Scripture. I'm just going to list kind of what they are. Fasting is, of course, in here, it's about food. It doesn't always have to be about food. It can be about whatever. Maybe it's a hobby that's taking time away from your children or your wife, and they need some more of that time. Maybe it's whatever it is. But if you'll do that, maybe and probably whatever some of those things are, they're also robbing God of His time. If you will fast, it'll add clarity to what God wants to say to you. The Bible talks about different kinds of fasts. There are private fasts, right? Private fasts. When nobody, you know, the Bible talks about don't go out with a scowl on your face and, you know, all dirtied up and people, so people ask you, what's wrong with you? And you can say, oh, I'm fasting. I'm trying to get spiritual. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about it tells you to clean up, put oil on your head, get straightened up before you go out. Don't let people know you're fasting because it's just between you and me. It's not about everybody else. It's a private kind of thing, a private fast. There are congregational fasts, like in Joel chapter 2. The Lord tells them to blow a trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. A congregation, the church was called together. We're going to fast. We're going to fast and we're going to pray for God to move. There are national fasts. The entire nation of Israel was called to fast. And then there are occasional fasts. There are regular fasts, like on the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement came, You know that that's a day you don't eat. Everybody fasts on that day. There are occasional fasts. That's as needed. And that's kind of where, mostly where we are today, or where we ought to be today. I'm going through some, I'm trying to seek the Lord, and I'm not getting clearly. It's just, try fasting. Try fasting. I have when I have a splinter in my hand, or somebody else has, I'm a splinter guy at our house. And my dad has this visor thing. It's looks like you know, you see the golf guys that wear these hats with no top in it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? They call it a visor. That would do me no good. I would get so sunburnt with that. But where's I at? The visor. Dad has this visor because he does a lot of coin collecting and stuff like that, and he has to look close. And I can put that thing on. I can look through those lenses, and I can see things so much more clearly. But let me tell you something. That visor has a secondary set of lenses. If I'm not seeing as good as I want to, I can reach up inside and I can flip down another set of lenses that magnifies it even more. That's what fasting does. Prayer, we're looking through a magnifying glass. And when we add fasting to it, wow, things become so much clearer. I know this is not a popular topic. I'm glad most of you haven't run out. Jesus assumed that we would fast. Did y'all know that? In this chapter 6 of Matthew, let me ask you this. Do you think that God expects us to give? Yes. Because in Matthew chapter 6, he says here in verse 2, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do, and on and on and on. And in verse 3 he says, but when you give to the needy. Now what do we talk about? What kind of statement does that mean? But when you do something, is there an expectation attached to that? Okay, we said God expects us to give, right? And here's proof of it. When you give, then we said, okay, what about prayer? In verse 5, when you pray, right? And then in verse 6, but when you pray, in verse 7, and when you pray, are those expectations of us? Okay, now let's get down to the part that everybody always passes up. All these preachers pass this part up. Verse 16. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Let me find a different translation that says what I wanted to say, right? What does it say here? Read it out loud. Okay. Read those first three words again to get it ready. When you fast. What does that mean? Is there an expectation attached to that? When you fast. The next verse, verse 17. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Clean up. Make yourself smell good. You don't want people thinking, what's wrong with you? You look terrible. Fasting is expected. Jesus assumed that we would fast. And I love this next verse. When we do this, when we do all these things, only to your Father who is seen in heaven, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When we follow what He expects us to do, He will reward you. Fasting strengthens prayer. When you add fasting to your prayer, again, I like that, pulling down that extra lens. It strengthens your prayer. It removes distractions. It helps brings into focus the words of the Father. Fasting helps us discern more clearly the will of God. If you're struggling and you're not really getting it, you think you understand and you go and it's not working and you go back and you pray again. Let me tell you what happened in Judges chapter 2. Just write this passage down and read this this week. Read Judges chapter 20. Read this this week. But let me break it down for you real simply and real quickly. 11 tribes went out to war against the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? They were fighting with each other is what they were doing. And they said, Lord, should we go fight or not? Should we go and fight or not? And I think we heard from the Lord. I think He says go fight. So let's go fight. They go fight. They outnumbered the Benjamites 15-1. Okay? All the 11 other tribes, they go out to fight against the tribe of Benjamin. 15-1. They go out, yep, I think the Lord has told us we have enough numbers. I think we heard it. Let's go fight. They go out and fight. They get routed. They get whooped. They lost the battle, and they lost 22,000 men. The next day, they went and prayed to the Lord again with prayer and tears. Help us, Lord. Give us victory. Let's go out and fight them again, boys. They go out and fight them again. Guess what? Same thing. Same thing happened. The third time, they not only sought guidance from God in prayer, with prayer and tears, but they also fasted. But only when they sought Him and only when they fasted did the Lord give them victory. It added clarity. The Lord was teaching them something. And it wasn't until they humbled themselves to the point of fasting that they got victory. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Paul and Silas, they fasted and they prayed before they appointed elders in the churches they founded. They were fasting for guidance. Before they made a big decision, a big decision like appointing leaders in churches, that's a big decision, am I right? These folks, these guys, they got serious about it. They said, I don't want to be distracted. I want to hear clearly from God. I don't want to be distracted with anything. So they fasted. They got rid of the distractions. They got rid of the distractions. So many of us are so distracted in our life, we've got, what's it, ADD. We have spiritual ADD. We're bouncing from here into there, and I want to go do this, I want to do that, and that, and that, and that. And we're doing all this kind of stuff. We're so distracted, we're not getting any of it clearly. Remove the distractions. Clear the mechanism. I love that line from that movie. Sometimes fasting is to express grief. Matter of fact, the first three of the first four references of fasting in the Bible, first three talk about expressing grief. Sometimes fasting is to seek deliverance or protection. One of the most common fasts in the Bible was the fast to seek salvation from enemies or circumstances. Maybe fasting will help you to express a repentance and a return to God. Sometimes, and folks, listen, I believe that we as a church, not just this church, but certainly this church too, but I believe the church in general needs to return to Christ. We've been so focused on all the distractions. We've been focused on religion. We need to fast from religion, get back to relationship. We need to fast from the expectations of man that's put on us and get back to the relationship and find out what Christ wants from us. Maybe it marks a new beginning in your relationship with God. Fasting can humble yourself before God. Fasting can be used to express concern for the work of God. Fasting can be used to overcome temptation and dedicate yourself to God. Jesus fasted before being led into the wilderness to be tempted, right? He was preparing himself, and he fasted in that preparation. You can also use fasting to express love and worship to God. Fasting it's an incredible and important discipline. We don't like to fast. We like to get what we want when we want it, right? But that turns into distraction. It turns into something else where we don't have to realize our dependence upon God. You try going without food for 40 days and you're going to find out that you depend on God for something. When we talk about prayer and talk about fasting, I will say this. I talked about the acquaintance type of prayer and then that deep kind of prayer. Until you have groaned and maybe even wept on the altar of prayer, I believe you have not experienced the blessings of speaking with our God as Moses did, as a friend face to face. Until you've, if your entire prayer life is centered around the mealtime type of prayers. Oh, and also, thank you, Lord, for this. Woo, thank God for that. You know, sometimes some people call that a prayer. Woo, thank God I didn't hit that red light. It's not a prayer. It's a sneeze. It's something else. Until you've groaned and maybe even wept and just spent some time just pouring your heart out, you've not experienced true prayer in your life. And what did I say a while ago? Your prayer life is a good indication of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Only you and He know what that's like. But I believe you better ask for clarification on it, because you might be deceived. We're good at deceiving ourselves. That's a whole other sermon. Fasting is in Scripture. We don't get to pick and choose. If we're going to believe the Bible, we've got to believe all of it. We believe in baptism, 75 references. We've got to believe in fasting with 70. That's pretty close. That's pretty close. Fasting is scriptural. We like the feasting. We like to talk about feasts. We often like the grace part of the Bible, right? But not the judgment part. We like the love part, but not the wrath part. Guess what, folks? It's all together. You either take the whole thing or you leave it. Choice is yours. You don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to edit God's Word. God has spoken it. You either accept it or reject it. That's pretty pointed, isn't it? God's Word is full. You either accept it or you reject it. You don't get to edit it. Somebody ought to tweet that. That's a good one. We spend too much time on what we want instead of what God wants for us. Maybe the very first sincere prayer that some of you need to pray needs to happen this morning. And maybe that very first sincere prayer, besides thank you for my food, thank you for my family, thank you for my job, I'm talking about the first sincere prayer, the kind where you just, you get off the phone and you go visit the person, that kind of relationship. Maybe that first kind of prayer, sincere prayer you do, is to pray a prayer of salvation. A prayer of confession. Lord, I've been far from you. I need to come to you. I want to be where you are. Save me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Your word tells me I'm a sinner, and I believe it, and I know it's true. Your word also says that the punishment for sin is death, but that you came to set me free from that. You died on the cross so that I would not have to suffer the consequences of my sin if I will accept you and allow you to be Lord of my life. And I do that, Father. I receive that. I believe that in my heart. Thank you for my forgiveness. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Maybe that's the kind of prayer you need to pray today for the very first time. And if that's the case, oh, I would love to share that experience with you. I don't know what you need to pray. Maybe you need to pray for forgiveness. Maybe you need to pray for clarification. Maybe you need to pray a prayer of dedication. I don't know what you need to pray. I just know you need to pray. I don't know what you need to pray about. You need to pray about something, though. Prayer is our lifeline. It's as important as the Word of God, folks. Do you believe that the Bible is important? So is prayer. So is prayer. Don't neglect it. Don't dilute it. Don't minimize it. Don't bring it down to some kind of elementary level thing that we do. That we read the Word of God, and then we'll say, God bless your reading, amen. That we read the Word of God, we put value in the Word of God, but we don't value our time in prayer. Don't devalue time in prayer. Don't minimize that. Emphasize it. And if it takes something like fasting to make it more emphasized in your life, He expects it. He expects you to get rid of whatever distractions are involved so that you can get face to face with Him, hear clearly from Him, and He can hear clearly from you. I know that's not been a popular sermon this morning, but I believe it's touched somebody. Is that you? Is that you? I know it's touched me. Somebody needs to pray that prayer for the very first time. Lord, I've known all about you. I grew up in Sunday school. I've been to Bible study. I've read part of your word. I understand it. I call myself a Christian. But Lord, I really don't know who you are. I've never opened up a line of communication like Brother Mike was talking about. I'm your acquaintance. But I want something deeper, because God wants something deeper with you. And if that's you, oh, I need to see you. We need to have a visit, because you are about to experience something that you've never experienced in all your life, and it's wonderful. It's awesome. You need to experience it. If that's you, you need to come and see me. The altar is open. I call this a prayer altar. There have been tears shed upon this altar, upon these steps. If you've been here long enough, you know that there is scripture written all over these steps, all over the stage. If you haven't, if you're not here, I've got a video I'd love to show you. It's awesome. This is a scriptural place. We need to be scriptural about it. Let's bend the knee. Let's spend time in prayer. This is your time. This is our time of invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Go ahead, Ephraim. Stand up. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to be standing here in the front. If I can help you, maybe you need some help with learning how to pray. We've got people who have said, I want to help people learn how to pray. We'd be glad to hook you up. If you'd like for somebody else to pray with you, I'm here. There are other people around that would love to pray with you. This is your time. Let's get rid of the distractions. Let's fast from the distractions. Let's get real. Let's get raw here in this place. This is your time. You respond as the Spirit leads.